Morning, we are so grateful. We're so grateful to you, Lord. We've sung about it, Lord, about your faithfulness. And this morning, Lord, once again, as we come to your house and at the start of 2023, Lord, we rededicate our lives to you, Lord. Lord, we say, here we are. Lord, we humble our lives. We humble our hearts. Lord, our families, our community, Lord, we bring that to you this morning, Lord. And we just say, Lord, have your way in me in 2023. Lord, we ask, Lord, that this year will be a year where we grow in you. Lord, a year where we grab a passion for your word. Lord, for a longing in our hearts, Lord, for your spirit to lead us and to guide us. To be people, Lord, who walk in truth. Lord, to be people who walk in integrity. Lord, to be people who walk in purity before you, God. In 2023, Lord, that's our heart's desire, God. We ask, Lord, even this morning, Lord, as we come around your word, that you show us from your word this morning, Lord, the truths of this life, Lord, I pray. Through your word this morning, Jesus, I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody at Heart City Church said, amen. Awesome. Well, this morning I really am excited to share God's word with you. And before I actually get into my message this morning, I've just got a scripture I'd like to read you, which I believe is a scripture for me personally, for this year, but also for my family. And also, I believe it's going to go a long way in leading us this year as a church. Okay, so Job chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. Thank you so much, Max, for putting up the scriptures. Job chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. This is what it says. Are you ready? If you seek God and plead with the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, surely he will rouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. Amen? I'm going to read that again. If you will seek God and plead with the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, surely then he will rouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation. And though your beginnings were small, your latter days will be very great. Who want to receive that word this morning? From the Bible, right? This is one of Job's mates. Remember when Job in the Bible went through that really challenging time in his life? One of his friends spoke this word to him. And I know often Job's friends get a lot of criticism because they were quite negative. In the beginning of Job's journey, when he was going through that very challenging time, his friends were actually quite sympathetic and empathetic with him. But later, as it goes on and on in the different chapters, we see them getting quite negative and blaming Job for what had happened to him. But I love this scripture here. If you will seek God, and I'm always reminded of, you know, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. After Solomon dedicates the temple to the Lord, the Bible says that God says that if you seek me, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's been one of the scriptures of my life. I don't know about you, but this is a scripture that I read often. It encourages me to continue to seek the Lord. It encourages me that, Luke, you cannot do things in your own strength. You cannot live this life well for the Lord in your own strength. It's only as you seek me, as you humble yourself. What does humble mean? Humble means bringing your life under the mighty hand of God. It says that in James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4, that if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what will happen? He will, in his perfect time, in due time, he will lift you up. Isn't that good to know? No matter who you are, where you are, in this world, whatever demographic you're in, income bracket, regardless of who you are, if you simply submit your life to God, if you bring your life under God's mighty hand, He says, in his perfect time, in due time, he promises he will lift you up. What does that lifting up look like? Well, it's different, isn't it? For each person, regardless of who you are. That lifting up looks different, regardless of the situation or the circumstance. The lifting up by God is supernatural. It's powerful. I love that. If you will plead with the Almighty. You know, this year, 2023, has been a year where I have been determined that I'm going to start this year well in the Lord. You know, it's easy to get into holiday mode. I have been on holiday this last week. It's been wonderful. But even during this holiday time, I said, I'm determined. I'm going to wake up every morning before my feet hit the ground that I'm going to begin to seek the Lord. Well, actually, this is how my days are going at the moment. I wake up. I take the dog out. Dog's been inside all night. Take the dog out. It does its business. I stand there, wait for it. Then I got to get it inside because it wants to chase the cars and chase the cat and the neighbor. You know, I get the dog inside. I turn the kettle on. Very important. I've now moved away from barista-style coffee, which I normally drink, to tea bag coffee. Quick. It's really quick. It's instant. But it tastes better than instant coffee. You know those ones? They come in a tea bag, but it's coffee. Packs a bit of a punch. Put the kettle on. I get my coffee ready. I sit down. I get my one-year daily devotional. I read through the Bible in 1 year. And I read the scriptures for that day. And there's probably 8 or 9 chapters I read every day. And I've done that since January 1st. Not to say that I never read the Bible in 22. I had a devotion. I did. But this year, I've made the decision I'm going to read through the Bible in 1 year. Who's had that opportunity to follow a reading plan? Anyone here? Lots of people, yeah. It's a wonderful thing to do. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you this morning to get a Bible reading plan? And there are so many. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, all you have to do is click on devotions. There's devotions on there. There are thousands of devotions, all kinds of devotions, devotions for men, devotion for fathers, devotions for women, devotions for families, for singles. It's incredible the amount of devotions in there. But this year, I made the decision to read the Bible through in 1 year following a systematic reading of that. I'm actually doing it in chronological order, which has been fantastic. Today is day 8, 8th of January. So can I encourage you to do that at the outset of this year, to get the Word of God in ya? Need to get it in ya, yeah? Get it in ya. I want to read you this awesome quote. It's from a guy by the name of John Wesley, a great preacher. He writes this about God's Word. I want you to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me that book, oh God. Give me the book of God. I have it here. Here is the knowledge. Enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. Let me be a man. Let me be a woman. Let me be a person of one book. Let me be a person of the Word. You know, they say it takes 7 days to make 1 week. I'm going to say this, though, this morning, that not reading God's Word for 7 days makes you weak. It does. Weak Christians do not read the Bible. I know that sounds harsh this morning, but it is the truth of God's Word. If we don't read the Bible, we are weak in our faith. We are. I know that you might be saying this, oh, Luke, you know, it's the first week of January. That's a bit harsh. But actually, that's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. It's not my opinion. Actually, it's what the Bible says, and it actually is my opinion also. Because I've experienced it. I've gone days and weeks without reading the Bible. I have. And I've noticed my life going like this. Downward. A downward spiral. This morning, I'm here to encourage you. Hopefully, I'm encouraging you. To get God's Word into your life. Let it be the cornerstone of your faith. Not just to say, I am a Christian because I come to church. No. We are called to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. We do that by reading the Bible and following the Spirit and being part of a local congregation. Amen? That's how it happens. You know, Psalm 119, verse 105, it's the longest psalm in Scripture. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How else will you know where to go? How else will you know what to do unless you're reading God's word? I'm telling you this, you will not make good decisions in 2023 if you rely on your own intellect or even on popular opinion. You will not make godly decisions. You might make some good decisions, but they might not be godly. Godly decisions are made from, I haven't even got my Bible here. How bad is that? It's in my office. But godly decisions are made when we are advised by godly book, which is the Bible. It's the Bible that helps us to live a godly life before the Lord. And not just Scripture, but then we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit, He comes alongside us. As we read the Word, the Holy Spirit is there illuminating to us, inspiring us, just as the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of the Bible. You know, there are 66 books, thank you, in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. There's a number of authors in there. The same Holy Spirit who inspired those authors to write the Bible is the same Holy Spirit who inspires us and challenges us and illuminates God's word to us now in 2023 as we read the Bible. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Scripture is God-breathed. That's why it is so important, isn't it? Because it's God's words. It's not just man's words about God. Scripture is God-breathed. It's God's word to us. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this. It says, "For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Heart City. The word of God is what helps you to make those good decisions. Because what does it say? The word of God is like a sword. It pierces between what we want in the flesh and what God wants. It says here, it pierces the division of soul and spirit. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, your emotions, right? Make up your soul. Your decision-making abilities in your soul. It's inside of there. So when we come to make a decision, is it a godly decision? Or is it our decision? Or is it a fleshly decision? Well, the way we know that is by going to the Word. And then God's Word comes in. It comes in and it pierces and it separates. It shows us between our soulful desires and His way for us. His leading for us in all the decisions of our life that we make. If we apply God's Word, we can make godly decisions. We can choose the right partner in life if we consult God's word. Amen? That's not to say that everything's going to be hunky-dory. No. Jesus said, in this life, you will face trouble, regardless of who you are. You will face trouble. We live in a fallen world. But we have God's word, amen, as the light to our path, the lamp unto our feet. What would we do without the word? I don't know what I would do without God's word. This morning, I'd like to read to you from Psalm chapter 77. And when we gathered together at New Year's, I read this to those who attended. And I'd like to just elaborate a little on that this morning. This is not actually a psalm of David. It's actually a psalm of a guy by the name of Asaph. And I'll read you the first 15 verses of this psalm. It's very powerful. And you'll see a massive shift that happens in Asaph's life as we go through the psalm. Look for the shift in the scriptures. All right, it starts off pretty pessimistic, and it starts off with Asa being quite downtrodden and with Asa being quite discouraged. Here we go. He says this, "I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me." How many times have you cried out to God in 2022 and you thought, you know what? I don't think God's actually hearing me right now. Because if he was hearing me right now, things would have changed. I don't know if God is actually hearing me right now. I never forget the day when, before we put this carpet down in here at the beginning of 2022, and I have shared this story, but I came down here at 4 a.m. I couldn't sleep. And I grabbed a paint tin and a paintbrush. It was black paint. I found it in the storeroom. And in big text, I wrote on this floor before we put the carpet on, I wrote, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain." And I remember being on my knees. It's about where Mikey and Georgina are sitting, just under there. I was on my knees and I was yelling that scripture out of the top of my lungs to the Lord. Honestly, I was. There's no one else around. I just had like one light on in here. And in that dim light, I scribed it on there in big black paint. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain." And to be honest, I was kind of at the end of myself at the beginning of the year. I was at the end of myself. It's not a good place to be in at the beginning of the year to be at the end of yourself. But that's the honest truth. I'd been through a tough time and I said, "Lord, I have no strength. Lord, I don't have the skills. Lord," I started saying all these things to God and just yelling it out to God. "Lord, this is your house. You build it." That was after praying many prayers of almost thinking that God wasn't hearing me. But you know, from that day onwards, things began to shift. Things began to shift here. You know, I had to do something. Things began to shift in myself, actually, to have the right attitude. That, Luke, you know what? You need God's word. You need God. You can't build, you can't plant, you can't establish on your own. You need God's word leading and guiding you. I don't know about for you in 2022 or 2021. I'm sure there's been many times when you've cried out to the Lord. He says this, Asaph says, "In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearing. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan." Well, I'm telling you, this is a bit negative to start off with. "When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints." Then it says, "Selah." Think on this. Ponder this. This is what he's saying to God. "God, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart." He goes on to say, "Will the Lord spurn me forever?" He's very discouraged. "And never again be favored? Has his steadfast love for me ceased? Are his promises at the end of all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion?" Can you see how despondent? Can you see how despairing Asaph was? He was facing desperate disappointment. Maybe you faced a bit of that in 2022. Maybe you've been feeling that this morning. Even as I'm reading that, you go, "Yes, Luke, I can concur with that. Yes, that resounds in my heart too. That's how I'm feeling today." Can I encourage you? That's not where the psalm ends. Amen. There is hope for us. Amen. There's hope for us in the Lord. It goes on to say this. "Then I said," listen to this, "I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the mighty, of Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord." This is where things begin to change. "Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder on all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Then listen to this. Listen to how this whole psalm shifts from being super negative and discouraging to being uplifting. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. With your arm you redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. Think on this. It goes on to say, isn't that amazing? Can you see from verses 7 through to 9 how deeply disappointed Asaph was? How desolate he felt. But then we see this change happen in his thinking. We see this change happen in his spirit to see him actually glorifying and praising God by the end of the psalm. You know, this morning, maybe, like I said, you've come here feeling a fair bit of despair, maybe a fair bit of anxiety also. Can I encourage you with God's word that can change today? Amen? Not because I said so, but because God's word says so. The writer says, I appeal to this. In other words, I look to this thing. This is what changes everything. This was the key. This is what happened. This was the strategy. He says, I will, three things. He says, I will remember. So that's the first thing that Asaph did. Can I encourage you, if you're facing a discouraging time in your life, remember, remind yourself. That's why the Jewish people had all these different feasts that they had every year. It was to remember. Remember the feast of Passover. What do they remember at Passover? They remember the deliverance out of Egypt, wouldn't they? They'll remember when the angel of the Lord came and when they marked the doorposts of their homes with the blood of the animal of the sacrifice. And as the angel of death passed over their home, it's called the Passover. Remember that? And then they celebrate that. The Israeli people celebrate Passover, a time when they remember God's faithfulness to them in delivering them out of Egypt. That's why they had these festivals and feasts. It was to remember. What did Jesus said at the Last Supper? Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we have communion, because we remind ourselves, Jesus went to the cross for me. I'm worthless. I'm useless in my own strength. It's only by God's grace, it's only by God's mercy that I can stand, that I'm a Christian, that I have salvation. There's nothing in me that's good. It's only God that's, by His Spirit, that's put His Holy Spirit in me, that's purifying me and sanctifying me. That's why we remember. That's why we have communion. We take that little bit of wafer. We drink that little bit of juice. And we remind ourselves of what Jesus went through on the cross to earn our salvation for us. Don't we? We remember back to that. We remember. It uses some very strong words in the psalm. It's very intentional. It says, I shall remember. In verse 11, it says, surely I will remember. It says, so this was a conscious act on behalf of Asaph to remember what God has done. And later in the psalm, he talks about how God delivered the nation of Israel through the Red Sea. He talks about that later on in that psalm. You can read it in Psalm chapter 77. There's a very similar psalm at Psalm chapter 143, verse 5 and 6. It says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works, and I consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst to you like a parched land. I remember the days of old. No, I don't linger there. I don't stay there. I remember, you know, sometimes you speak to people and you say, you know, how's your walk going with the Lord? And you go, yes, in 1979, the Lord gave me a word and clinging to that. I'm like, yeah, that's brilliant. But what is God saying to you today in 2023? If you seek Him, there's another word there for you. Amen. Maybe there's even a prophetic word lined up for you even right now. Well, what is that word for you? What is it that the Lord has for you in 2023? Well, I know for me and my family, it's if I seek God and I plead for the Almighty for mercy, if I'm pure and I'm upright, surely He will rouse Himself. He will restore my rightful habitation. And though my beginnings were small, my latter days will be very great. That's my word for the year. That's why I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to live out my life with purity as the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sin. And as I read God's word and as I'm amongst all of you, as we are here together in accountability, as I do that, the Lord's going to work this word out in my life in 2023. And I'm so excited about seeing that happen. Can I ask you this morning, has the Lord given you a word for 2023? Has the Lord impressed the word on your heart through the Bible, through seeking Him? What is that word? Have you written it down? The book of Habakkuk says, make the vision plain. It says, write it down. What is the word for you in 2023? The only way we get that word is by doing exactly what the scripture says. It's by seeking the Lord. Because it's God's word, right? I mean, how do you receive the joy of the Lord? We all quote that scripture, don't we? The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you're feeling weak, oh no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, you're not going to have the joy of the Lord if you don't get it from the Lord. It's only the joy that comes from the Lord, amen, that gives us that joy, that gives us that strength and that, not happiness, because happiness is fleeting, isn't it? But joy lasts for a long time. The joy of the Lord. So firstly, just three things this morning I'll encourage you with. It's remember. And I wrote this down. I will consciously pursue the memory. I will call it up from memory and I will track it down. Yesterday morning, this year, there's two things that I've decided that in 2023, I'm going to be fit and I'm going to be free, right? That's for me, right? Not for you. You can steal that. That's all right. Hashtag 23 fit and free. That's me, okay, for this year. Fit and free. 2020 free. Amen? F-R-E-E. I can't even spell free, but 2020 free. I'm really believing that. So this Saturday, I said, okay, I can't just say that I want to be fit and free. I have been surfing almost every single day this year. I've started this year in the water, getting fit that way. But yesterday morning, I did a group training session with Benji. Benji's at the back there. And Benji and Dora, they are fitness people. They are very fit people. So me, my two sons, Jimmy and Josh, my brother-in-law, David, and my other friend, Matt, we went down there to Benji's house, and he's got a garage, and in the garage, he's got this equipment, gym equipment, and he did this training called, I don't really want to say this word out loud because it's really painful to say it, it's called Tabata. It's circuit training, high-intensity circuit training. So you go from one exercise, you do it for 30 seconds, and then it gives you a 5-second break, and you go to the next one. So you might be doing shoulder press for 30 seconds, and then you're doing push-ups for 30 seconds, and then you're doing all kinds of devilish exercises, all kinds of interesting exercises which really do challenge you. But you don't just do it once. You do it 8 times. And it really hurts if you haven't done exercise for a long time like me, right? It's been months. I have done these exercises before with Benji, but this was the first time in a long time I'd done these. So I think we got to about round 6, and Benji and Dora are doing it like, you know, like it's nothing. But anyway, the rest of us were struggling. And I remember at that point I started yelling out scriptures. They just started coming to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Benji's going, amen, brother, amen, amen, brother. Greater is He, Pastor Eddie, you'll like this one. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And then 2 reps near the end of the exercise, I was even going, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, surely you'll be with me. Amen. I never said that one out loud. I was just thinking it. I was spent. I really was gone. And you might go, oh, Luke, chish, you've quoted those out of context, which I have in most cases. But still, this is the point, right? Where do you turn to? Where do you go when you are facing the pushback, right? When you're facing that hard time, when you're going through that challenge, where are you turning to? And there's many things we can turn to, and I'm not going to get into that this morning. But where do you turn to? We wrote a song about that, didn't we? I think you wrote that song, or Mo. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes to the hills. I lift my eyes to the Lord. That's where my help comes from. Why is it that oftentimes the Lord is the last option for us? Why is that? I don't know. I think it's human nature. We tend to try and work things out by ourselves, don't we? The Bible says, turn to the Lord. So firstly, remember, consciously remember. Remember the things the Lord has done for you. And I can honestly say this morning in 2023, I might not be all that I want to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. We can all say that in maybe not the whole package, but just in some areas of our lives, right? That the Lord has brought us through. And yes, there has been victories in 2022. And yes, there has been discouraging times. There's been some defeats. Yes, I have felt like I've let the Lord down. I let myself down in 2022. But you know what? The Lord says to us here once again that irrespective of what 2022 was like, 2023 is a new year for us. It's a new day. Amen? It's a new day to focus our gaze upon Him. Secondly here, firstly it was, remember the days of old. So Psalm chapter 77 and Psalm 143, they say the same thing. So firstly, I will remember. Secondly, I will meditate. And I'm not talking about this kind of meditation. Oh, I'm very stiff. I can't do this. Not that meditation, right? I think there's a place for soulful reflection. There's a place for being quiet and quietening yourself. But there have been people, you know, who've stood on poles on one leg for years and grown their head to dreadlocks, and their whole life is meditation. That's not the meditation God is speaking about here. The meditation God is speaking about here is us taking God's word and looking deeper into it. Amen. There's a cool scripture about this in Josiah chapter 1 verse 8. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. I love this. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do accordingly, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. It's as we get God's word into our hearts, it's not just reading it, but getting it into our hearts. That happens through meditating on the word. It's pondering on the word of God. It's taking time. I like to say it this way. It's allowing the word to marinate. Amen. Who loves a good marinade? I love marinating things. Marinating meat. I'm getting hungry right now, actually, thinking about it. Marinating chicken. Honey, soy, marinade. It's a good one. Chicken. Can use that on steak as well. Honey, soy. Priscilla's sister Shirley, she makes a really good soy chicken marinade. That's lovely. I know Rion, my cousin-in-law, he makes lovely marinades on his meats. You know, there's a marinade. The process of marinating, I don't know what the word is, to marinate the meat, there's a process. You don't just put it on there for 5 seconds and then chuck it on the barbie. No. You've got to let the juices, you've got to get the meat and the marinade get to know one another, don't you? Everything's got to like infuse into each other, and the meat gets to know the oils and the herbs and the spices and the salt and the pepper, and it soaks it in, and you put it on the barbecue, and music. It's beautiful stuff. I do apologize to anyone out there who doesn't eat meat this morning. A couple of people around, I know that, but I'm sure you can marinate cauliflower or something like that. I haven't tried. You can marinate mushrooms. I know that. A friend told me that. But something I do love doing is cooking asparagus and broccolini on the barbecue. That's beautiful, by the way. Just as good as the meat. So I will meditate. allow the word of God to marinate. Amen? Let it marinate. My father-in-law, Daniel, he makes this marinated chicken as well. It's like chili, lemon, garlic. It's beautiful. He lets it sit in there for a few hours in the fridge, whops it out. Beautiful stuff. So we need to marinate in the word. Amen? You see this, if you marinate in temptation, when you're tempted, if you marinate, if you linger there, you're going to get cooked, aren't you? You're going to get taken and sizzled on that barbecue by the devil. That's what the devil does. When he tempts us, if we marinate in that temptation, if we allow that temptation to come in. See, temptation's not sin. The sin is when we actually give in to the temptation and we allow that fleshly desire to take over us, don't we? But the Bible says there is a way out of that, isn't there? It's a great strategy. Jesus says to his disciples, when you are tempted, he says, get up and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. This is Jesus when he's about to go to the cross and he's on Mount of Olives and they can't stay awake. Remember that? They just like keep nodding off. But he says, get up and pray that you do not fall into temptation. I think that's a great strategy for us in 2023. Amen? When you're feeling tempted by something, that your flesh is desiring something, get up. In other words, be proactive. Don't marinate in your sin. Yeah? Get up, the Bible says. Get up. Get proactive. Pray. Amen? Seek the Lord. Do something else. Go for a walk. Go for a jog. Do something. So firstly, let's remember, let's remind ourselves of the good things the Lord has done. We do that through the scripture. Through having a journal is a good way also to look back on years gone by and say, thank you, Lord, I was going through this challenge, but you've brought me through. And then lastly, this morning, there's this old English word. It's the word muse or consider or to ponder. I will muse. I'll just go back to the original text. It says, I will ponder all your work. The other word for that is muse. I will muse. And that word, I had to look it up myself, to be honest. It says to converse. And in parenthesis, in brackets, with oneself and hence aloud. Or utter, or to commune. Sometimes it's even complain. Like the psalmist did here. I love the rawness of the psalmist. He doesn't just say everything's dandy. No, no, life is not like that, is it? Life is not just buttercup, butterflies and tulips and roses. And no, 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 life is challenging. And I love that the psalmist actually acknowledges that to the Lord and even complains to God about that. I mean, you've got to read the book of Job, which I'm currently reading, to realize that life is challenging, amen? But with God's help, with his strength, through his spirit and through his word, we can overcome the world. We can make it through this life. Amen. Another synonym for the word muse is actually meditate as well. To meditate. To pray. To speak. To talk. Most importantly, to ponder. To ponder. Ponder on God's work. Consider what God has done. Consider what his hands have done. I often think about one of my favorite psalms is Psalm chapter 8. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, that you consider him just a little lower than the angels? I mean, what is man? In Job, I was reading, I think it's Job chapter 8. It talks about, what are we? We are but a breath. We're but a vapor. Who are we that the Lord pays all this interest in us? It always perplexes me that the Lord, he finds us to be the apple of his eye, the Bible says, doesn't it? To be the center point of his attention. That he loves us so much. That just amazes me. That he knows everything about us. The Bible says every hair on our head. Well, for me, that's quite easy for God. I'm trying to make it easier for him. You have to do so much counting. My boys, on the other hand, he spends a fair bit of time on their heads. But, you know, the Lord knows, and that's just symbolically saying that God knows about us, doesn't he? He wants to be intimately involved in our lives. I love this. I'm going to wrap things up now and finish in the next 5 minutes. Amen? Amen, cool. Because I know you're getting hungry. after all that food talk. So in 2023, can I encourage you? This is the way to live the Christian life. Amen. Are you ready? Read the Bible. Straight up. I mean, there's no two ways about it, right? If we don't read God's word, what is leading our lives? You know, Romans chapter 12 says that we need to renew our minds, don't we? With God's word, so that we can be an acceptable offering, acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. How can we renew our minds if we don't have God's word in there? We need to get God's word in our minds and from our minds into our hearts. So in 2023, can I encourage you to form a new habit? Maybe it hasn't been a habit. Maybe it's been a habit that was kind of like a hobby. Maybe reading the Bible is more of a hobby than a habit. You know, sometimes we need to add that discipline if we want to do things easily. In most cases, I mean, you speak to any top sportsman. I listen to a lot of podcasts on top sportsmen, and often they'll say, the only difference between me and the next person is that I practiced more. Was that when they all went home, I stayed in the nets for 2 more hours and I kept hitting balls or kept kicking that 40 at the goals or putting those extra laps or it became a passion to write and to write and to write. When kids at school thought I was a nerd because I loved writing, it wasn't homework for me. I loved doing that. You know, some people say that, or drawing or painting. Whatever we want to do easily, I think first comes with applying some discipline first in our lives, and particularly when it comes to reading God's word. Because I can tell you this, when you pursue God's word, I can tell you this, that it won't be easy. Why? Because the devil, he knows the power of God's word, doesn't he? He knows the power of God's word. He'll bring every distraction across your path. You know, your cat will climb the tree and can't get out. The alarm will go off. Your mobile phone will start vibrating uncontrollably for no reason. You know, something will happen, but, you know, can I encourage you to press through that? Find the time to read God's word, to discipline your life in reading God's word. In 2023, I've written this down. I want God's word to be the guiding light in my life. Not any voice from anyone else, but God's word. I want God's word. God, I want your word to lead and guide me this year. Amen. I love that. Living on God's word. I'm going to live on God's word in 2023. So just three things for us this morning. And I actually grabbed these three things from John Piper. He's a great theologian. He's done a wonderful message on this. He asked these three questions. And I've been asking these of myself. When will I fit the reading of God's word into my day? It's a good question to ask practically. When will I actually fit in the reading of God's word into my day? What can I change to make it fit? What can I shuffle around a little in my day to bring God's word in? Amen? To bring the life in, to make my spiritual journey with the Lord richer, stronger. What are some of the things I need to shift? And I promise you this, they're just small things that you can shift. Maybe it's simply going to bed half an hour earlier so you can get up half an hour earlier. And maybe instead of falling asleep in front of the TV, say, no, at 10:30, I'm actually going to go to bed. I'm not going to fall asleep in front of the TV every night. I'm going to make that decision. Instead of watching a movie every night before I go to bed, how about this? I'm going to grab the Bible. I'm going to read a whole bunch of chapters, or I'm going to grab a good book, a good Christian book that's going to encourage me in my faith, that the last thoughts I have before I go to bed are godly thoughts. Or those last 5 minutes, just before I go to sleep, I'm going to grab my journal. I'm going to write down maybe some of those things I'm struggling with and saying, Lord, while I sleep, Lord, I ask that you work some of these things out in my life or in my family, in my job situation. Bring those things before the Lord. Secondly, the second question that John Piper, he asked these things. Where at home or work will I read and begin my meditations and prayers? Where will I do it? Well, for me, at my home, it is, we have a man cave. So I don't have a garage. It's become a man cave and storage facility. It just seems to fill up with clutter. But that's where I go in the mornings. I've got a lazy boy chair in there. And I go in there in the mornings. Well, I'll get up before the rest of the family gets up. This is the thing that I like to do. I like to get up early in the quiet of the day, in the cool of the day. I love that. Just that quietness before the traffic starts and everything else. And just quieten my heart before the Lord and read the word. I love that. For me, it's the most beneficial part of the day. Or maybe you're not a morning person. Maybe you do that at the end of the day. Whatever works for you. So where can I make some quiet and solitude? Where is there quiet and a place of solitude? So I think it's actually creating the space and, sorry, just grab some water. You read, you know, I love to read old books and I like to read some of the, like just the champions of the faith and autobiographies and biographies. I love reading these books and quite often like these, you know, mighty men and women of old, what they would do is they'll have a prayer closet. Have you heard about this? Having a prayer closet. It was literally a closet. They'd climb into a closet and close the door. It was called their prayer closet. Remember that? There's a movie, The War Room. Remember the War Room movie? The old lady who prays for that young lady. She had a war room. What does your prayer closet look like? Have you got somewhere where you can go? It doesn't have to be a literal closet because that is a bit odd. But, you know, create a space. Create a space that you go to. Maybe it's even going for a walk around the block in the morning, in the cool of the day or in the evening. You know, Jesus often did that, didn't he? The Bible says that Jesus, he went and he sought out, the Bible calls it a desolate place or a lonely place, a place where there was quiet. Quite often for Jesus, that was along the coastline. That's what I love doing. Along the beach or up in the hills, Jesus went for walks. He would get away from the noise. He'd get away from the crowd. And he would spend that time with his Father. What does that look like for you? And then just thirdly this morning, how will I read the Bible this year? You think, oh, Luke, that's a silly question. How will I read the Bible this year? And thank God in 2023, we have so many resources, don't we, to help us with that. But all of that actually means nothing if we don't simply just grab the Bible and read it. Amen? So how do I read the Bible? By reading it. Amen. Amen? And for some people, it's using their phone. It's using the Bible version, the YouVersion app on their phone. I prefer not to do it this way. Even though I follow, there's a guideline there that I follow. I like to use the physical Bible because I know my phone will distract me. Yeah? It'll buzz. I'll get a notification. And then I'm like, as much as I don't want to look at that WhatsApp message from whoever, I'm tempted to go there. So I like to put my phone on silent and I like to get the physical Bible. I love that. With a pen and a notebook next to me. That's how I do it. The physical Word of God, I love it. So how will you read the Bible this year? Will you read it from Genesis to Revelation? Or will you read a little bit of the Old Testament, a bit of the Psalms, and a bit of the New Testament? Will you follow a systematic reading of it, a chronological reading of it? That's up to you. But I encourage you just to simply read it. John Piper asks, will you read a chapter a day? Will I use the discipleship journal, reading a discipleship plan? Will I use a theme guide? Will I use a devotional help? And Priscilla, for Christmas this year, she gave me a devotional guide by Oswald Chambers. And I loved Oswald Chambers. And he was a great preacher, a great man of God. He was a chaplain in the English-British army in Egypt. He's actually one of the chaplains before Gallipoli, the chaplains who were there. And he wrote some wonderful devotion, Our Utmost for His Glory. He wrote that devotional, something that Priscilla reads every single morning. She has an Utmost for His Glory devotional Bible. She reads that way. And she just bought me a simple devotional. And I've added that to my morning time with the Lord. It's only a little paragraph, just encouraging me in God's word for the day. Can I encourage you to do the same? Grab a devotional or grab a Bible that has a devotional in it. We've even got a resource store here. which has those kind of things in as well, which will help you in that. But all these resources are there to assist us in reading God's word. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning, I just want to leave you with a couple of scriptures as we close, as we are encouraged to read God's word and to meditate on it. This is what David says in Psalm 40. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Listen to this. I love this. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. I mean, how do you know what's good and right and holy and making those decisions unless you have God's word in you and you have the Holy Spirit leading you? How will you know that? You won't. That's why as Christians, we have the advantage to know what the Lord wants for us because we have his word. We can put it in our hearts. I'll read it again. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. And we know the Jews, what they even do to today, they actually literally bind the word around their heads, around their minds, around their tassels of their cloaks. They actually literally do that to get the God's word on them. I love this. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and I will regard your ways. Even though Psalm 119, verse 23, and these are all from Psalm 119. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Don't you love that? What a privilege and an honor we have. What a privilege and an honor that we have God's word in our lives. You know, David, he never had God's word. He only had a few books of the Bible back then. But we have the whole complete word of God to help us on this journey. Just one more scripture. There it is there. Psalm 119, verse 148. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. I love that. Get me through the night, Lord, so I can read your word. I love that. You know, Jesus said, his disciples asked, you know, how do we pray? And we have the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray. And Jesus said, you know, go close the door behind you, find a quiet place, and seek your Father in heaven. Can I encourage you this week to grow an appetite, amen? To grow an appetite for the word. To allow your heart to marinate. I'm going back to that word again. There's a theme here. Grow an appetite, marinate. In God's word. You can only benefit from it. Amen? You can only grow in your faith as you apply God's word to your life. It will transform you from the inside out. Amen? So this morning, my purpose was to encourage you. Amen? Hope you feel encouraged to read God's word. Was also to maybe give you a bit of a kick up the backside and say, hey man, I've been a bit passive in this. I need to get moving. I need to get God's word in me. What am I doing? I'm apathetic. I'm lazy. I need to actually do it. I say I want to do it, and I know how important it is and how powerful God's word is, but I've been a little bit listful in getting there. Can I encourage you this morning? Read God's word this week, amen, in 2023. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for this message this morning, which encourages us all, Lord. It challenges us all, Lord, to get into your word because we know, Lord, as your word says, your word is life to us, Lord. It's a source of life to us, Lord, because it's your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord. We have the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We also have the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Gospels. Lord, we have it all there. Lord, it's all salvation history. It's all there, Lord, to lead us to live this life, Lord. Lord, this morning, Lord, we want to be people of your word. Lord, we don't want to be people of our own word. We want to be people of your word, God. Oh, God, as we read your word this week, I pray you lead us. Oh, Lord, I pray you guide us, God. Lord, even as we do this series for the month of January, I pray, Lord, our eyes will be opened to the power and the preciousness of your word, Lord. Lead and guide us by your word, I pray, Lord. As a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path this week, Lord, I pray, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, you just break off the shackles of apathy, those things which are holding us back, Lord, in the reading of your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, this week we'll be strategic. We'll be intentional about reading your word, God. Oh, God, help us in this. Thank you that your Holy Spirit helps us in this, Lord. And we commit all of this to you today, Lord. And we just pray for those who are away today, Lord. We pray for those who are grieving. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling. Lord, we just reach out our hands to them this morning, Lord. And we're going to ask for your healing touch to be upon them, Lord. For your comfort, Lord, to be upon them. Those who are sick, Lord, for your healing hand to be upon them, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord. Lord, that as your people, Lord, we can serve you and we can know you, Lord. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, a couple of years ago, we put together a whole bunch of messages. We did a series here on the Bible. It was all about understanding the Word. And next week, we'll be handing that out. If you would like a copy of that, we'll have that available to you. It's like a 50-page document. It's about understanding God's Word in context. It's very important. So I encourage you to grab a hold of that next week. And I'll continue this series next week about the importance. Four H's next week. Habit, heart, happening. I forget the next one, but just about reading God's Word. So that'll be next week as we get into God's Word. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Please join us for a coffee afterwards. There is no lunch today, but there is some coffee. We'd love to have a chat and get to know you if you're new or visiting. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. God bless you. Awesome.
The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. Lord, the ocean weaves with us in
darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside
I am right.